Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On NBA Network. And by the way, happy Friday. This is Jeff Garcia, your host for today, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. And, look, it's been the topic of discussion of late, the Spurs playing in Austin. And yes, we're going to talk about that again today. But we're going to get our guest thought because he's been MIA, but it's okay. We forgive him. He needs to make money. I understand that. He's a busy man. And we're also going to be giving a recap slash grade for Zach Collins as we continue looking back at the season that was, the 21-22 season. And look at Zach Collins and what he brought to the table. Who is the guy who's been MIA? I've been asking him to come on, and finally he's here. He is my colleague at Ken's 5 San Antonio. He is Casey Vieira. Casey, welcome back, man. Man, I've been trying to get you back on here.
Yeah, city of San Antonio. These elections, man. for my other line of work that I do. My goodness, taking my soul out of me that I'm slowly getting back.
Oh yeah, man. I can imagine. You're burning the candles at both ends. You got the Ken's job, and you got your other job, and I get it. Well, look, I'm just glad you're
I would much rather be on Lockdown Spurs. Have been on Lockdown Spurs over the past 2 weeks and doing some of the things I had to do.
Remember we used to come multiple times during the week?
Oh man, unemployment life during the pandemic, man.
That was fun times, but I'm glad you're gainfully employed now.
I was on way too much those days.
Nah, it was all good. Fans do ask about, hey, where's Casey been? So here he is, everybody. He's going to be giving you his thoughts on Zach Collins, and make sure to follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. Casey, you're back. Let's get right to work right here on Los. We're starting little by little in the offseason, looking back at some of the player performances, grading them. And today it's Zach Collins after a long absence due to leg injuries. He came back last season. Spurs fans thought take a flyer on him, see what happens, but slowly but surely he became something, a thing where Spurs were like, okay, he's okay, but is he really the answer? Before we dive into the numbers, what he brought to the table, your thoughts on Collins play last season? Are you giving him kind of a pass because he is coming back from a major injury? What were your thoughts about him?
I think largely I kind of gave him a pass considering it'd been basically 2 years since he played.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to really be overly critical of a guy who hasn't played in that long. And when he shows moments of vulnerability and rust and things like that, a lot of it's just inevitable because he hasn't seen the floor. He hasn't been healthy. He hasn't been around. So for me to, take an overly critical stance on it probably would be a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, largely from what you saw, it was okay. I think it was about par for the course, what we expected. I don't think anybody expected him to come here and set the world on fire. I don't think people expected him to come here and be the worst thing to the game of basketball. But it was just kind of, he was what he was. He was productive in spurts. It felt like when he first got here, those first few games, he looked real good. But then I think kind of just inevitable, your body's going to get a little fatigue, especially when you haven't played in 2 years. But I think largely for the most part, if you had reasonable expectations, I think he met them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm going to give him a pass, all things considered. But, the Spurs, when they signed him, I was like, all right, more to gain than to lose. He was a top 10 pick, wasn't he, in his draft class? He was 10.
Yeah, draft 10.
By the way, I had a chance to speak with him way back when, right the day before he got picked by Portland. And he mentioned to me that he knew his Spurs history. He mentioned to me that it was criminal that Tim Duncan never got the DPOY award, Defensive Player of the Year award. So he knew his Spurs stuff, but, comes to San Antonio, does pretty good in Austin, had a little cup of coffee with the Austin Spurs to get him going, comes to San Antonio, and some Spurs fans, not all, but some thought like, okay, he is the guy, you know, he is this stretch big that the Spurs desperately need. They, you know, we love you, Yaka, but you're just not that. Here he is. And he showed somewhat of that, you know, but I, at the end of the day, though, I think Colin still is not the answer for what the Spurs desperately need, a stretch big.
Yeah, I agree. It, like, what, okay, what's your definition of answer here? Like a long-term answer or like a solid rotational guy?
I think they need a long-term answer. I mean, because that rotational guy isn't going to cut it. You know, look, Jakob, he's great. There's no denying what he brings to the table. We know it. But you know, still, he lacks that. He can't even create his own shot, let alone not even a midi. But, you know, with Zach Collins, you know, you still want to give him a chance. You still go, maybe he can be that. You know, he only played, what, like 29 games last year in San Antonio. Took 42 three shots, made 14 of them, about 33% from the field. Shot 50%. Mostly of that was in the paint. It's there. It just, I don't know. Do you think the Spurs can afford to wait and see if he can be that stretch guy that they need?
Yeah, I mean, he's on the hook for $7 million. This year, yeah. If they bring him back, it'd be $7 million. I mean, that's for one more year. That's nothing. Yeah. Why not? I say do it. Yeah. I say bring him, unless he's part of something from a deal just from a money match standpoint. I don't see any issue in bringing him back.
Yeah. You know, obviously, he's on the hook at least for another year. You know, there's the idea maybe you can use him as trade bait. You look at some of the numbers, and I don't say trade bait like you're bringing some big guy, but you know, like a package, part of a deal.
Right.
He averaged 7.7 points per game in about 18 minutes per game, gave you about 5 rebounds, gave you about 2 assists, recorded 23 blocks. And we mentioned the shooting numbers there, 49% from the field and 33% from the three line. Again, not bad, all things considered, but
another thing too, Jeff, when you talked about his contract, I think part of the reason the Spurs, when it comes to his contract, I think the Spurs had in mind that they were signing him for next year as opposed to this year, because I don't think you would give a guy anything more than a vet min contract. If you were just intending to make it a one-year thing, I think they had enough faith in him to at least try him more than half a season, which they had, or however many, you said 29 games, however many games he ended up playing. So I think by that would tell me at least that they're going to bring him back, or he's at least strongly in the consideration worth bringing him back.
Yeah. And look, you know, for all, you know, what the Spurs could have done too, and maybe they did. I actually, we're not behind the scenes, but you know, he's a chip, he's a piece of a deal. If the Spurs want to get active in the offseason, you can go to a team and be like, look, you know, he came back from a major injury, he played with us for about 29 games. Look what he did. He remained durable, and I think that's the big question. He sustained, you know, his health in 29 games. Can he do it for a full season? To me, that's another big thing I'm looking at it, as far as his future in San Antonio, Casey.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to sell a lot of people on Zach Collins, period. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to have a whole list of suitors signed up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's necessarily a concern for them showcasing him. I think it's less of a showcasing standpoint, but more so finding out if there's anything there kind of standpoint for me, because he's not a bad plug and play guy. If you need it, if you're going in there with reasonable expectations, you're looking for a guy who can fit into a 10-man rotation, so to speak. On days you need to stretch the floor a little bit more, you throw him in there. There's days where, you know, you're playing against a team that's a little bit smaller and he can't keep up with the guy playing the five, shooting guard playing the five or whatever it is, then he's going to throw him. You can throw him on the bench. He won't get offended. Or you would at least assume
yeah.
he get offended. He doesn't
yeah, you're
role.
Assuming, yeah.
Yeah, you're assuming he wouldn't get offended. But I think he's good for what he is. I think he's good for what he is. Yeah.
And you know what? You know, historically, at least through his very short NBA career so far, I mean, it's not like he's blowing up the stat sheet, even in his rookie season in 17-18 out in Portland. You know, 4.4 points per game. Fine, it's your rookie season. You know, he did take a leap in the playoffs for Portland in that season. He averaged about 7 points. But overall, you know, he's really giving you somewhat about five-ish points per game in his career, about 4 rebounds per game. I mean, I think he's just been proving that he is what he is, even in the 29 games in San Antonio, since 17-18 to his return in 21-22. What we saw last year out of Zach Collins has been what he has been since his arrival to the NBA, Casey.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is really a lot of it is not necessarily to the fault of his own. But when he has played, it's probably not that much of it. Like you said, not much of a difference now than it was 3-4 years ago, right?
You're right. No, it hasn't. All right. Yeah. So I'll go back to the 18-19 season. You know, 6.6 points per game, 4.2 rebounds. Took 121 threes that year in Portland, made 40 of them, 33%. About the same that he shot in a small sample size, 42 three shots this year in San Antonio, made 14. So I think he is what he is. He's going to get you that. Now, the intangibles. You like that he's a dog. You like that he's, you know, he won't back down. You like that he's physical. And sometimes I think the Spurs team needs that because you see their young core. Some, you know, they don't really have that dog in them sometimes. Zach Collins does. He's not afraid to mix it up. He's not afraid to get, you know, throw some elbows. And I think that's valuable for this team, Casey.
Oh, man. You know, I was just, yeah. Well, let me complete your thought here. Yeah, that type of thing is valuable. It is, but that just goes back to that acceptance of you're a role guy, a rotational guy. And I think that's what, I mean, if I was in his shoes, I would have to accept that, because if he shows out this year, relatively speaking, in a good rotational role, then once it comes time to get some new money, I mean, there's a chance to get another multi-year deal there. And if I'm him, I think that's what I'm focused on doing. I'm sort of unrelated, but you were talking about he's a top 10 pick. Yeah, Portland's just had a rough history with these things, man, with this draft history. No, they went Collins at 10, then it was Malik Monk, Luke Kennard, whatever. 13 and 14 back to back. Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo.
Yeah. Portland, it's not like Sam Presti's over there or RC Buford. You know, they definitely tripped up a bit there. But you know, you mentioned the contract situation.
Yeah.
You know, he is playing for a new deal next season. Now, we gave him a pass, you know, last season. Should we have, I want to say, big expectations, but just maybe should we be expecting more out of Collins next year?
How much more?
That's the thing. I don't know how much more, because historically he's given you what he's given you was your last year. It might be the same thing. You know, it more than likely is going to be the same 7 points per game and 4 or 5 rebounds per game.
I mean, you have no reason to believe otherwise.
Yeah, you don't, but you know, I mean, it's a contract year for him. You hope that he steps it up. You hope that he, you know, something, you know, adds something to his game or, you know, brings more spring in his step after being out. I don't know. That's the thing. I think, to me, when I think Zach Collins, I think, all right, okay, cool. He's there. That's my vibe when I think of Collins.
I think that's a lot of people's vibe when it comes to Zach Collins.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's there. And then when he's on the bench, it's like, man, that dude knows how to dress. Who is that dude right there?
The only person I've seen put him to shame in the fashion department is some guy named Casey Vieira. Casey is a very snazzy dresser.
Come on.
I see you on TV with those suits on.
Part of the gig, man. Part of the gig. I just have to try and look like I belong, and that's still debatable.
We're talking with Casey Vieira right here on Locked On Spurs, and we're looking back at Zach Collins' comeback season with the Spurs next season. I mean, last season, excuse me. What to expect out of him next season and more. Yeah, I'm not expecting too much out of him at the end of the day. I think he's just going to be – he is who he is. If the Spurs want to use him as a sort of package deal this offseason or ahead of the trade deadline, I mean – not like it's gonna break the Spurs season, you know. I don't see it like that. But yeah, you look at that, but you still look at that Spurs big man department right now as it stands. It's Jakob and Zach and Jock. Outside of Jakob, it still needs some work, doesn't it?
You'd operate under the assumption that you would at least have rookie X, Y, or Z coming in to at least fill somewhere in that gap, but. Yeah. Hey, listen, somebody's got to play that five spot.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to. The Spurs are entitled to bring him back if they want him.
Yeah. Somebody's maybe, Casey, you'll work your magic and we'll see Miles Turner in a Spurs uniform next year. That'd be fun.
I don't know how I feel about Miles Turner. I really don't. Because that guy's on the trade market every single year. He even said it himself. Didn't he say, like, paraphrasing here? Didn't he say something like, I'm used to it? Like, literally, this is every year my name's on the trade market. But he can't stay healthy. I mean, he's a good play. I mean, he's a good ball player. He blocks shots. He can stretch the floor. Relatively athletic. But he can't stay healthy. And he's got some big money to him. I don't know if I want him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I would like. I think he'd be a nice fit in San Antonio. But also too, you know, he's a fellow geek and nerd. I mean, he is an uber nerd. You know, so you know.
Oh,
that.
His TikTok is fantastic.
Yes, it is. Yes, I mean, he shows off his Lego creations. I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
he's like, like.
Main reason. Oh, don't play around. That's the main reason you want. You have somebody you can. you have an easy source of an easy and relatable source of content for you, man.
Well, here's the thing. Can you imagine every post-game conference with me and him? Like, Spurs, you know, destroy the Bucks or the Suns, and he has a quad dub. So when's your next Lego project, Miles Turner? That's Jeff's question, all right? But
I would never let you talk on the Zoom again.
Circling back to the Spurs big situation, it's just not there yet. Jakob, as great as he is defensively, you know, and, you know, the intangibles, you know, the pick and rolls, is just overall, I think that really needs to be addressed in the offseason. Whether Zach Collins factors into that, we'll see, you know. But hey, you know, he's not on the hook for a lot of money. Technically, expiring contract could be packaged. Maybe that's Zach Collins' best contribution to the Spurs if he nets them another draft pick in the upcoming draft or our future pick or a young player to add to the mesh. But all right, it's going to give out a grade now. What grade would you give Zach Collins season for San Antonio?
Probably a B. Probably. I mean, if you have the tempered expectations, that really depends. If you're having I would go a B or an incomplete, probably more so a B. I think he played enough to at least give you enough of an idea of what he is.
Right.
And if your expectations were kind of a average, not necessarily overly athletic big guy who can stretch the floor a little bit, that's kind of what he was. So
exactly. I mean,
he played the part. Yeah, I'd say probably a B.
I'm right there with you. I'm going to give him a B as well. He pretty much played as he's been playing throughout his NBA career. He's, you know, what really bumped it up for me is he stayed healthy. I was like, oh, every time he fell or landed wrong or looked awkward, I was like, oh, no, here we go again. It was every time he did that.
The Anthony Davis, whenever he hits the floor, because Anthony Davis tells every injury the same way. So you don't know what it is. I have a niece who's 4 years old. And I made this comparison. Her dad, my brother-in-law, is a big basketball fan. And I said, when she falls down, when she gets hurt, she sells everything the same way. She could trip over her feet, barely scrape her knee, and you would have thought her leg got blown off or something like that. But then, like, she'll do something that actually hurt, and it warrants the same reaction. So you don't know. You don't know. Is it how bad is it? It's all over the place. That's Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis gets hurt. He goes down. You're like, oh my God, he's hurt again.
Here we go again. Yeah. Up.
But then he goes out there and he sprains the ever living, you know what, out of his ankle. And then you don't know. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, this is Anthony. And then you don't see him for a month and a half.
Yeah, exactly. So, those mystery injuries. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we're giving him a B for the season. What do you want to give Zach Collins last year, his comeback season? Let Casey know on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. Let me know, Jeff G Spurs Zone on Twitter. Hey, you know, summer is coming, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. That's where Built Bar comes in. Built Bar are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bag, your kid's backpack. Just make sure everyone has a bar so you are fueled for your summer adventures. The best thing about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both. It's easy, and all you got to do is go to built.com and order right now. They have a new puff style brand bar, which is basically a marshmallow infused protein bar. Everybody's going crazy for them. You will too. They come in a churro flavor. They're only 140 calories. You're gonna want to get your hands on a box of these puffs. And look, it's not just puff they got there. They got a variety of flavors from mint chocolate, peanut butter, the list goes on and on. They make sure that there's something for everyone. And most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. You don't want a candy bar, which has about 240 calories. Get that out of your system. Go to Built.com right now. See all your favorites. Banana cream pie is also on the list. Raspberries on the list. There's so much you can choose from at Built.com. All delicious. New flavors coming out all the time. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. We're back with Casey Vieira right here on Locked On Spurs. And now we're going to get his thoughts on that big news that came out recently regarding the Spurs seeking to play more home games, but away from San Antonio. Casey, you had some time to digest it. You've heard what the Spurs say. No, it's about expanding our fan base and our reach. Hear what the Bexar County Commissioner's Court had to say. Is what are you guys up to, basically? I mean, that's basically what they told him. What's going on here? You know, you bum rush this on the day of. You know, what is going on? You don't give us a draft. Judge Wolf on San Antonio summed it up nicely at the end when he said, like, everybody's divided on what the H are you doing here. So, Casey, what did you think about the recent big news? Is it much to do about nothing? Should fans come off the ledge and stop thinking relocation to Austin? Just what do you think is happening here?
What the H are they doing here? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, initially when it came out, when the first report came out the day before they sat down with Judge Wolf, I was like, man, this is more of what we've heard, blah, blah, blah. They want to keep playing in Austin. You know, this is kind of what we expected. UT's got a fancy new basketball arena out there. You know, this is a better alternative for setting the team away for a month for the rodeo. Just ship them up to Austin a couple games. I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's more than that. And then it's not anything more than that. And then the next day, they're talking to Judge Wolf, and Wolf just pretty much calls them out saying, you guys are up to something. You know, you guys are up to something. And that's when kind of my whole outlook on everything changed. Because for me, at that moment, that turned from people speculating to there's actual smoke that might lead to fire. Because if elected officials, people in positions of power in town, that was the first time that they have showed that they're kind of like a lot of us. They're kind of like a lot of us watching from the outside, that they don't know what's going on either. You know, this goes from a bunch of goons on Twitter like us and people talking on podcasts like us, acting like we have all the answers. Well, the people who matter, they're not getting the answers neither. So now it's like, okay, What's the deal here? What's the deal here? And for me, after they went to court with them, whatever day it was, earlier this week, and they had that conversation, and Judge Wolf said all those things, that was honestly the first time in all this I started becoming a little bit concerned. And I'm not really anything that they're saying in terms of, you know, our long-term goal is to keep the teams in San Antonio,
right.
You know, whatever. That's what everyone, you know, that's famous last words for every team that ends up relocating.
Yeah, ask the Sonic fans out in Seattle.
Right. Houston Oilers, and I'm sure when the Cleveland Browns bounced the first time, I'm sure that's what they were hearing as well. And next thing you know, they wake up the next day and they're all heading to Baltimore. So
literally,
literally, yeah. and they're heading to Baltimore. So that this past week really did nothing to instill any confidence in me that this is not going to happen, or this is not going to happen. Now it almost feels somewhat inevitable, unfortunately. And I guess the thing for me at this point is I'm just thinking, I hope it's Austin. I hope it's Austin, because I feel like they're going to move now unless something suddenly changes. But I hope it's Austin, and I hope it's not Vegas, because, you know, I feel like for this Central Texas community and then the Spurs diehards over here, now, this has kind of been the lifeblood of definitely San Antonio, but there are a lot of people here. And you think about the impact that, like, this is their team. This is lifeblood. This is DNA. And thinking about you're taking all that and shipping it away. I think if they move up the road an hour to Austin, you know, you might annoy the San Antonians who, for whatever reason, have to have some kind of beef with the city of Austin, unnecessary beef with about everything Austin. It's just like, want everybody get along, you know. But I think largely, for the most part, you're not going to lose your fan base if they go all the way to Vegas. And I mean, that's not ideal.
Yeah,
that's not ideal.
Well, two of their properties already left out there. I mean, the Stars and the Rampage.
No, but I honestly, I don't look too much into that, because those were not at the level. I was going to say not pro for WNBA is obviously pro franchise, but minor league hockey and the WNBA not involved with the mass money that goes along with Dell. I think if it does happen, I think it's Austin. I think it's Austin. I do. Glass half full approach, though.
There's that. Yeah. A couple things before we start putting a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. For me, what got me, well, my takeaways were this, because I was, you know, watching the session when the Spurs attorney was there and the panel, the commissioners were there, is when Wolf says, you know, you could have been playing in Austin for years now, and our contract allows you to play two games anywhere you like. And I think one of them mentioned, like, if you wanted to go play in Dallas, you could have done that, and there's nothing we could have done to stop you. And all this time, they never do. Then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we want to play in Austin. Either A, they didn't read their contract, or B, as you said, like, something's up, you know, what's going on here. If you wanted to increase your footprint in Austin, and by the way, this is nothing new as far as them increasing the fan base out of Austin. They have done this for years. So to the Spurs, you know, point, if you will, giving them the credit too, they've been trying to attract Austin fans for years now via ride shares, helicopter rides, putting their G League team there, having the Austin Spurs play a game in San Antonio, sending some of the players up there for appearances. This is nothing new. Yeah, for a long time, they've been doing this. Okay, but why haven't they ever taken up on that? Those two free games they could have played in Austin. Now they bring up Austin. So that threw me off. Second thing was, okay, fine. It was one of the councilmen, Justin Rodriguez. He did say to the San Antonio Sports Star that the reason why Buford wasn't there was because he's in Australia with his son. because his son's team is in the Australian basketball finals and he just went there to support.
Right.
But where was Holt? Where was Holt Jr.? It's a big meeting. You know, why aren't you there?
Yeah.
You know?
And another thing too, why don't you just wait till RC comes back?
Yeah. Yeah.
The sentiment is still the same.
Yeah. Or they could have just asked for a motion to reset or something like that. Can we just delay this a few more days until RC gets back?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's fine. But those are two things that got me kind of like, all right, well, if I get you, when he said, what the hell are y'all guys doing? You know, what the heck are you doing here? Credit to Wolf too. He said, like, he goes, he wants time for the Spurs fans to chime in once. And here's the other thing too, Casey. They didn't have a draft presentation for the Spurs, something on paper to describe what they're trying to do. And even Wolf called him out saying, you just showed up. We didn't know. We weren't aware of this. It just happened to be on our agenda. And here you are. I think they thought they could go in there and just get it rubber stamped. I really believe that's what they thought was going to happen.
Probably.
Or something more diabolical, but we'll discuss that in just a few seconds. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball, and the weekend's run to the Roses at the Kentucky Derby, which is back. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information from live betting, playoffs, esports, and much, much more. You can even bet if Popovich will be back next season on the sidelines. It's there at BetOnline. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back with Casey Vieira. Going to wrap up this episode of Locked On Spurs. Kind of give a little final thoughts on this Spurs plan to play more games outside of San Antonio. Yeah, I think it's just the Austin thing, Casey, that's really rubbing the fan base and the community and even the Bexar County commissioners the wrong way. A 3-2 vote, as Wolf said, is not a good sign for San Antonio Spurs. They should see that as, the community is kind of looking at you a little side-eyed, huh, Casey?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. And I think a lot of fans, San Antonians, Central Texans, people not in Austin, San Antonio advocates, if you will. I think that a lot of them probably had the same feeling. I don't want to speak for everyone, but the same feeling that I did was the fact that for so long, this just felt like just chatter, hearsay, you know, speculating. It's like, oh, Michael Dell, that means they're moving to Austin entirely. It's like, okay, you know what? You know, take the tinfoil hat off. Let's just wait till we see what's up here. Come on, guys. But now it feels like there's actually a little bit of a fire here. My thing is with it is you talked about how the Spurs for so long have been trying to win over the Austin market, literally like flying people out there.
That's what they're doing. Yeah.
But literally to that degree. And for the most part, it hasn't clicked. I go to Austin maybe one weekend a month or so. And I don't think, honest to God, I don't think I have ever seen one person wearing an article of Spurs apparel walking down the street.
I also hear that their MLS team, you know, the team that they snaked away from San Antonio they don't get a lot of support out of the fan base.
Oh, no. It's the opposite. They do.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah. Austin FC has been spectacular. But here's the thing though, with Austin FC, soccer is one of those niche funky sports that succeeds in funky cities like that. And what's Austin's big catchphrase?
Keep Austin weird. Yeah.
Keep Austin weird. Well, what's a weird sport that fits a niche market? Soccer, MLS. Put it in a brand new building, beautiful building, create a good experience. Not to mention the team is pretty good. I've been out there. I've been out there, and the team is pretty good itself this year. They're winning. I mean, it's catching on great. It fits that. Basketball, the NBA, there has been no indication whatsoever that it's going to click in that market. People are like, oh, it's a big technological boom, all that stuff. You know, it worked in San Francisco. And I'm like, you had the Golden State Warriors since the beginning of time. Yeah, they're in Oakland. But we've seen pro sports markets succeed in San Francisco. We've seen the Warriors have an impact on the city of San Francisco. There is at least indication that they care. There is no indication that the city of Austin cares. Now, these two games happen and something changes and you start seeing things come a little more visible. Okay. I think that there's, or now you start talking a little bit about them. Mm-hmm. About them building off of this. For me, I think what it comes down to, and what's the AT&T Center lease? 32, 33?
Right? Ends in 32.
End of 32.
Yeah.
By the time 10 years rolls around from now, assuming whatever legalities that may or may not, Spurs may or may not break, but if they were to leave the AT&T Center, but that's beyond my rate of pay. What is, for Michael Dell, what is the bigger endeavor, I guess, so to speak, the more profitable endeavor is building a new arena to attract fans in a more desirable area, San Antonio, downtown, hemisphere area, where you know you already have the fan base, or build a new arena in a suburbia of Austin, probably. Well, probably it would be in a suburbia of Austin.
Yep.
And try to build a whole new fan base that you have no indication that's been there so far. And forgive me, you know, forgive me if you're listening from Austin, and maybe I'm being naive. You're a Spurs fan in Austin. But all I'm saying is, from my experience there, going to that city, I have not seen the turnout from Austin fans.
Yeah, you go to Austin Spurs games. Yeah, it's practically empty. The HEB Center is practically empty. Yeah,
it's empty. It is. There's nobody there.
Yeah,
there's nobody there. Right. I think that's ultimately what it probably will come down to. What's the bigger financial gain? Trying to sell a new market on a pro sports team, or trying to continue to, you know, give the build on what you have here in San Antonio. Not to mention, dude, San Antonio's blowing up anyways because people can't afford to live in Austin anymore, so they're moving on. They need to move down south.
Yeah, so and here's the thing too.
But an upswing too.
Yeah, look, I don't think the Spurs are leaving anytime soon. I don't. The only thing that I'm worried about again is, you know, how they approach the commissioner's court initially, and then two, you know, is this relocation shopping? Is this testing the waters? You know, is this kind of like, what happens if we try a new market on the slick without moving? You know, you can't tell me whatever penalties the Spurs face if they decided to drop the bomb on the city and say, nah, we're going to Austin or Vegas. You can't tell me that Dell can afford those penalties. I mean, he'd be like, oh, how much is it? Oh, you know, it's a drop in the bucket. Here you go, Spurs, pay San Antonio the penalties. We out.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
It also doesn't help, too, where the Spurs are located right now, their arena, because, you know, put a relocation and all this scariness aside, you know, I don't think it's much to do about anything. I think the Spurs are just looking for that fan base. I spoke to a Spurs rep personally on the phone. He told me, no, you know, it's not just the target of Austin. It's Austin, but everybody else in between, Comfort, Bernie, New Braunfels, Gonzalez, Laredo, all the way down to Mexico City, you know, that they want to dominate that corridor. So, okay, fine. I don't think relocation is on the table, but it is something to watch out for. And I tell you this much, they're going to be starting to ask either for renovations or a new arena. And I think that might blow up everything too, if that happens. From San Antonio.
I mean, by the time the 10 years comes around, the AT&T Center will be 30 years old.
Yeah.
Be 30 years old. It's due. It's due.
Yeah, it's due. Yeah. It's due. All right, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the grade we gave Zach Collins for his comeback season? We gave him a B. agree, disagree, let Casey know on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. Let me know at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Make sure to check out Casey now on Thursday through Sunday now, right? You're anchoring the sports?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Check him out on Ken's 5 TV. Thursday through Sunday. He's holding it down for us on the sports side, on the television side, that is. And we thank you for making Lockdown Spurs your first listen each and every day. Subscribe to Lockdown Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're now on YouTube. Thank you for pumping up those YouTube numbers. We appreciate it. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Lockdown Spurs.